You're listening to The Bridge Young Adult Ministry at Eagle Mountain Church. Join us as we dive into the Word.
So how many of you guys use the app YouVersion on your phone? Anybody? Anybody? You guys, you know you use it. Y'all are like closet Bible readers, all right? YouVersion. If you have it right now, I want to show you something. Open it up. Open it up. We're waiting. We're going to stare at you until you do it. Just kidding. So there's actually something called live events on YouVersion. So if you open up YouVersion and you scroll, you may have an Android. If you do, I'll forgive you. I'm sorry. But anyway, you scroll to the second page and you hit live, and then you hit search for a live event. And the first thing that should pop up, unless your like GPS location thing is wrong, is the Bridge Relationships in 3D. Click on it, and you can follow the notes for tonight, as well as our scripture references. You have an old phone? If you have a 3GS, I'm sorry. Oh, yours is just a 3G. Bless God. Where are you at? Where are you caught up at? YouVersion. Can someone help him? Okay, go to live events. Scroll to the second page and go to live events. Yeah, there's a second page. Oh, he sees it now. So I thought it was kind of a cool feature. Everybody give Nick a hand for helping us get this thing started. You can give yourself a hand. It's okay. So I don't know if you got the idea of that video. That video was people acting out social media relationships in real life. We probably should have prefaced it somehow, but you should have seen some of the faces we got. We were running over there at the PSC, at the Partner Service Center at KCM, and we had like this little random funky camera that Matthew built out of a couple of flip devices, and it was just nuts. So people are like walking by, and here's Holly throwing photos at the camera, and everybody give Holly a hand. Give the crew a hand. Steve was in there, and obviously Jordan and Nicole. So it's ludicrous that we would actually talk to each other like that. Hopefully, I mean, how many of you got to met somebody from a younger generation who like talks in text language? You know what I'm talking about? They're like, LOL. I've actually heard someone say that. Not text, it's said. They said LOL. I'm like, say laughing or just laugh. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to type it. So tonight I want to talk to you about, though, God's plan for relationships. We might not see it, but our idea of relationships has degraded over time. Our culture has been confused about what relationships really are. And oh my gosh, he's still wearing the glasses. It's amazing. All right. See, we've grown up in a world where someone's acting a fool, you can just block them. Anybody ever done that or unfollowed? You're like, dude, you got one too many political quotes for my taste. I'm just going to unfollow you. I mean, every day, I know people who like argue, like pick arguments on social media. All they do is want to pick an argument. I'm like, I don't need to read this. Like, I don't need to get stressed out over something. So the world has become kind of two-dimensional, if you think about it. We're so used to this interface that we can just completely ignore somebody. We don't have to get in their lives. We can ignore them. And I know there's relationships that have started and ended completely on social media. I mean, friendships, dating, whatever. And you always know when someone changed their relationship status. They're like, single. They're like, it's complicated. You're like, what does that even mean? As crazy as it sounds, though, these ideas, along with other things in our culture, have really polluted our idea of a relationship. Real relationships are messy. They're not easy. If anybody's ever been, I'm not just talking about dating tonight. I'm talking about the entire gambit. How many of you have a hard time getting along with your family? All right? You know it's not easy. It's messy. It requires putting someone else before you, and it requires forgiveness. So we're going to dive into what the Word of God says tonight. I believe God's plan, no matter what the situation, is well-suited to make sense of it. Amen? Turn with me to Titus 3:3-7. I'm reading out of the Message translation because I dig the way it puts it. Verse 3, it says, "It wasn't long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hating and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, he saved us from all that, and it was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life." Say new life. "So generously, God's gift," verse 7, "God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of it." I love verse 7. God's gift has restored our relationship with him. What was his gift? You guys are like Word of Faith people. Y'all should know. His gift was Jesus. Y'all can shout back at me. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm not like T.D. Jakes, but it's okay. Y'all can shout back at me. I look how it puts that too. It says, we've all been dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands. I'm not going to dig into that one. With a chip on our shoulder, hated, and hating back. I've been saved now, I think 17 years. And I can't imagine, my mind has continually gone, we're supposed to look more and more like Christ, right? We're supposed to, our minds are supposed to be washed by the word. And so I can't imagine what messed up views of relationships I had. If I go back and look at pictures on, you know, how you're like, your family, you would never do this to yourself, but your family posts Facebook pictures of you, like when you were like 7, with like a snotty nose and like just looking goofy. You would never post that stuff, but they do it and they tag you in it. And it's just like, thanks. Yeah, I really love that. So I think you guys know Kylie. She wasn't able to make it tonight, but Kylie found a picture of me in, I don't even know what I was thinking, okay? It must have been during this time frame. But I had a velour gold shirt and hair down to here. Yeah, and I looked like Hanson. I kind of looked, remember Hanson? Remember the band of the 90s? How many of you remember Hanson? You know, guys, you all thought that was a hot girl. And then you realized it was a dude, and you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? I know, I was like, hey, that lead singer, she's kind of cute. Wait a minute. The Hanson brothers. Never mind. All right. So, look, it's so I've been saved 17 years, and I've seen, it's hard for me to think about what relationships used to be like, but I don't have to go far to find out what the world thinks they're like. I mean, we all read the news. We're all on social media. We're all running into people every day who are broken. They live in a dark world. They have no idea what God wants for their lives. They have no idea that they don't have to go through those kind of relationships. See, like, relationships in the world are based on your needs. They're all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Remember, there's this video with a guy singing that, messing it up. Anyway, it's all about the individual. It's not about the other person. So what happens? They end up going from one relationship trying to meet their needs to the next. And it's a vicious cycle. See, we should filter all of our relationships through our relationship with him. When we're saved, that's our filter. That's our guide, okay? We know what life was like without him. So why would we try to treat relationships the same way? I'm talking about all types. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about your relationship with your boss. I'm talking about your relationship with your family. Yes, I'm talking about your relationship with that significant other, whether or not you even know there's a significant other. I'm talking about it, okay? So I think that different types of relationships have different guidelines. Would you agree? What you can talk about with your family, guidelines are kind of non-existent. Anybody ever like, when I go visit my family, there's a ton of us, and we all have different ideas. And you can just be honest with people. You know what I'm saying? You can be like, that's stupid. You know what? I'm not really following what you're saying. I appreciate your opinion. That's always a nice political way to say, you're just stupid. You know, I appreciate your opinion. But anytime we get together, we have this really great time. We have fun, but we also have so many diverse opinions. It turns into, there's at least one debate. There's at least one knockout drag. And then we're all good because we're family. We go get Starbucks and see a movie and everything's happy. You know what I'm saying? But you can't, imagine if you tried that same guideline with your first date. You know what I'm saying? There's a different guideline. You're sitting at the table and she starts talking about, you know, how she likes this politician, and you're just like, go down her throat. You're like, no, he's stupid. I would never vote for him. What are you thinking? I mean, no, that date's going to last about 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be paying for the steak, and then that's it. Or like, imagine you're going into your boss. Like, you're interviewing for a job, and the dude's telling you about the work environment, and you're like, you know, I really think you should change this, this, and this, and this about the work environment. If you want to hire me, you need to change this, this, and this. Well, how's that going to work out? You're going to be looking for another job, right? See, you can't really tell your date what they're wearing makes them look fat. You can tell your brother that. Dude, you look stupid in that. That color makes you look like a turkey. Go ahead and change, you know? You can't do that. You can't do that in other areas. See, there's different guidelines. There are unspoken rules of engagement our culture inherently understands, but God has laid out some rules too. So let's go over a few of those. So if you're taking notes, if you're looking on your iTunes thing, it says rules of engagement. Go down to Galatians 5:14. I said iTunes. I meant YouVersion. Galatians 5:14. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. Love others as you love yourself. How many of you in here would say that you absolutely hate yourself? I think it's safe to assume that you love yourself, right? You get up in the morning, you shower, you shave if you're a guy, you brush your teeth, you take your vitamins, you eat healthy about, 80% of the time. Some of you 40%, just depends how many Moo-Yah burgers you want to eat that week. But you love yourself. It's okay. It's okay that you love yourself. See, Paul was writing this verse to who? To the church. If you're a believer, you should have a pretty good idea of how God sees you and how you see yourself. Does that make sense? If you are in the world, you don't love yourself. You hate yourself. That's why cutting is rampant. That's why all these things in our society are so degrading and dangerous, because people don't know that God loves them and they can't even love themselves. But in the church, Paul is writing this to the church, okay? So if you're in the world, you're not going to understand this. Love others as you love yourself, much less the fact that you don't even love yourself. You would never considering loving someone else more than you, or much less hating your enemy, right? Turn the other cheek. What? I'm going to hit the other cheek. What are you talking about? Like, that's a completely just crazy idea. Does it say love those that think like you and send kind comments your way as yourself? Others is kind of a all-inclusive word, isn't it? Does it say love others in the church as yourself? Others in general. It's a widespread definition. And unless you're like, how many of you watch Lost? It's not talking about those others, okay? The guys with the weird beardy things that are like live on the other side of the island. It's like everybody else love the same way you love yourself. The same concept is mentioned by Jesus in Luke 6:31, Matthew 7:12, and in Mark 35. He states that the last shall be first in Mark 35. But in the other ones, he says, we grew up calling this the golden rule. Anybody remember that in school? Of course, they took God out of the picture, so it was just like, it never worked. They always took you to this training, like when you're first a kindergarten, and then you get into first grade, and they're always like, love others as you love yourself, or this is the golden rule, but they never talked about where it came from. How many of you know, if you take God out of it, it doesn't have any power? So why it never made sense to us before we became believers. Love others as yourself just doesn't work. Turn with me to 1 John 4, 7 and 12. I got a lot of scripture I'm going to run through tonight, because I want to make sure that you guys, we usually allot an hour for our service, including worship and message, but I want you guys, part of our mandate is to build a community. And so after the service, we have free espressos and cupcakes that Jesus made and all sorts of stuff to hang out. So I want you guys to get to know each other, but and we're going to get into that in a minute, but turn with me to 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The Amplified translation reads it kind of from a different angle. 1 John 4:8 in the Amplified, it says, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not know and never did know, for God is love. So based on these calculations, this might be a shocker to some people, is it possible to love without God? So you mean that like date you had in junior high with this girl you really thought you fell for, that wasn't love? Or that relationship you had when you were living in the world, that wasn't love? Some people they believe that they have love. And they'll go in the world, they'll live with this fake idea of love, but it all eventually fizzles out. It might take an entire lifetime to fizzle out, but it will end. The only real definition, version, action of love is in God. If you don't know God, you don't know love. It's simple, right? It's not complicated. So there's a lot of things that go along with that, but we're going to dive into some other things. Basically, the idea is no matter how convincing something seems, I mean, how many people write love songs that have no idea who God is? You hear them all the time, especially if you turn to country music. Of course, he always ends up leaving her, and the dog gets hit in the process, and then someone gets a busted taillight. And then your dad gets cancer. When you write Christian music for KLTY, see, all the opposite happens. Your dog comes back to you, your wife forgives you, and you have new taillights. Anyway, no matter how convincing the counterfeit, say counterfeit. No matter how convincing, it's still a counterfeit, okay? Outside of him, our relationships of all types will eventually fail. Outside of him, there's just no way around it. That's how it is. Ever thought, you guys, how many of you are like Apple iPhone people? You've seen the commercials. There's an app for that. you think. And there really is. There's an app for almost everything. Like I was thinking about it the other day, and I looked up an app. I was for something really stupid, like meaningless. It doesn't even make sense. I can't even remember about it now. That's how insignificant it was. And sure enough, there's an app for it. It was like 99 cents. Someone made an app for anything you could possibly imagine. Someone probably made an app to make a video in 3D. We just didn't use it because we wanted to be more technical. We should have used the app. Anyway, so you've heard that. There's an app for that. I believe that there's a verse for that. There's some things that aren't as clear in the Bible, but there are a verse, especially when it comes to relationships. You ask your question in YouVersion, and there's a verse for that. So the first one is Colossians 3:17. Say every detail. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. And he goes down. So every detail kind of covers what? Everything, right? Every detail. Let every detail be done in the way of the Master. So verse 18, wives, understand your and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. Husbands, go out all out in your love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the Master no end, to no end. Verse 21, parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits. Verse 22, servants, think about this for you. None of you guys are indentured slaves, right? Anybody? We dealt with that a long time ago in the United States, so hopefully none of you are still dealing with that. But think about this translation as, how many of you have a job? How many of you have a job that sometimes gets complicated? Sometimes you want to throw stuff at your boss, right? It's okay. No one, we'll edit out if any of you guys get in the video. No one's going to see this. This is talking to you, okay? So, verse 22, servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters, okay? Bear with me. Don't throw stuff yet. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a Christian doesn't cover up for bad work. So, you work in an environment that's just not cool, that you hate, that you want to get out of. The way you get out of it is pressing in. You want to go to the next place, you got to get through this. You got to press in. But who knows? God may have you there so that you can be a witness to somebody. And if you blow the whole thing because you get all red, angry, and like throw stuff and cuss them out, you're not going to be able to come back and be like, you know what, man, I'm sorry. Jesus loves you. That's not going to work. I remember my first job was Mazzio's Pizza. I worked in Mazzio's. It was pretty awesome. And I was cutting pizza. I was washing dishes. I was doing all those glorious, grandiose things, you know. And so I'm in there, and my manager, this is when I was running from God. I had hair down to here. I get my hair continually. It was bad. These pictures should all be deleted, yeah. It's not there anymore, obviously. You can look at my head. It went away. But I had it down to the middle of my back, and I was like, I mean, I looked like, I took care of it. It wasn't all ratty, but, I mean, I was like, you know, a Nirvana kid. I was a grunge kid, Pearl Jam, you name it. I was like a kid of the 90s, and I was running from God. And so I'd known God, but I decided to run from God. And so here I am running from God, and I'm hanging out, cutting pizza. And this guy, he was a Christian. And he always, like, flashed his ichthus necklace and, his little track cards and everything. And he would always be telling me about Jesus. And so one day we're in there, and he just blows up on me and pushes me out of the way and decides that he needs to get something done, so he's just going to push me out of the way and cut the pizzas for me. Regardless if I had respected him in the first place, which I didn't, because he was like that all the time, I definitely wouldn't have ever listened to him again. He blew his chance. I think the next day he came in, and he had a friend with him, and they both tried to openly evangelize me, and I was just like, I just want to cut pizza, dude. Like, leave me alone. This is not cool. If you're in those environments and you're pressing in, that's not where you're going to stay forever. You know that, right? God's going to let you get to your dream, but you got to press in. Okay, moving on. Let's talk a minute about being single. I'm sure this is a favorite subject, all right? First off, let me say that being single isn't a sign that you have failed or that you're missing something even. Paul was perfectly content being single. I'm not saying that you guys should all be Pauls, but I'm pretty sure he would not have been able to make the choices or the sacrifices he made in order to do what God had called him to do if he had to make sure that his attention was evenly spread between a family and then chasing after God. He wouldn't have been able to say, oh, kids, you want to come with me? I'm going to be in prison for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm eating slop. Everybody's deserting me, but y'all can come. Come have some child and daddy time. You know, that wouldn't have worked out for Paul. So he says, verse 7, it's 1 Corinthians verse 7. 7:7, sorry. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. This is Paul talking, so don't throw things at me again. Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways. But celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of single life to some and the gift of marriage life to others. Paul goes on to cover several other scenarios in that verse. So if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 7 all the way down to 17 and beyond, read that at your free time. We don't have time to go into all of it. But down to verse 17, he says, "And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you." Say, where I am right now is God's place for me. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Don't think I'm being harder on you than the others. I give the same counsel to all the churches. So I'm giving this counsel to you guys. It's pretty simple, right? I want to say this too. We talked about this a little bit. This isn't a singles club. So I'm not dissing singles ministry. This isn't a singles ministry. And here's why. One of our mandates is to build community. It's really hard to build community if every time you give your number to somebody, they're thinking, they want to date me. Hey, follow me on Twitter. What does she mean by follow me on Twitter? Like, you all have these name tags with your Twitter ID, and some people are like, I don't want to write that on there because someone's going to. No, this is a safe environment, okay? And I'm not speaking against it. But community can't happen if every time you talk to somebody, they're looking at you like a potential mate, okay? That's not the way that we do things. And I believe that there's a place for that, and there's a place for them to gather and talk. Singles ministry has a purpose. That's not what we have, okay? You guys following me? I'm not talking against them. That's not where we are. So guys, girls, you're not looking at each other like potential dates. Unless God told you that's your mate, that's your sister, that's your brother. And you certainly wouldn't check out your sister. I'm just being honest with you. Guys have this innate thing. I don't know if you ever figured this out. Their heads are magnetically affected when a girl walks down the street. And I'm not really sure what it is. It's this thing. And when you get saved, you got to overcome this. But I'm serious. It doesn't matter. If you've ever been out like at a restaurant or Starbucks and some girl walks by and you just watch the guy's head, they're like. One thing to kick that in the bud real fast is think, that's my sister. You ain't going to check out your sister unless something's really wrong with you. All right, turn with me to 1 Timothy 5. We're going to move on from that. This is kind of a cool, I like this. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he kind of gives him a guide to how to view everybody in his church. Timothy was a 16-year-old pastor of one of the largest churches of that time, and so he's learning how to see and view people. We don't really know if Timothy was married or not, but Paul tells him this. Don't be harsh or impatient with an older man. Talk to him as you would your own father, and to the younger men as your brothers. Reverently honor an older woman as you would your mother, and the younger women as sisters. So if you aren't single, everyone besides your significant other is your brother, sister, mother, father, unless, of course, you want to be single again. If you want to screw that up real fast, you say you can definitely be single again. But you get what I'm saying? How many of you follow me? Sister, brother. Okay, we'll move on to that. I don't want to talk about that anymore because you guys are like starting to glaze over. I do want to say this, though. If you start chasing after God, how many of you are single in here? It's okay. No one's going to like, wow, there's a lot of us. If you, there's a lot of you. I'm married. All right. If you stay on target, I've seen this happen. I believe this. I know this to be true. If you stay on target chasing after God, and the plan of God is for you to have someone in your life, one day you're going to look beside you, and that person's going to be running the race with you, and you'll link up, and you'll continue going. If you start chasing after the person, you train wreck both of you. Does that make sense? Chase after God. The person that God has for you is coming along. It's not your job to seek them out. It's not your job to go 1-800-FIND-A-DATE. You know what I'm saying? That's not what this is. All right. What about significant other? Let's talk about that. How many of you guys in here have a significant other? Yeah, you better raise your hand. You guys get married in a couple of months. Counting down the time. It's hard to believe, we said this earlier, but some relationships do. They live out their entire existence on social media. So, like, I imagine imagine with me if social media existed in the 1930s. I mean, it'd be really slow, right? It'd probably be powered off of light bulbs. But your status options would probably only include single, engaged, married, widowed, and maybe divorced. You might not, in the 1930s, that might be too taboo to say that I got divorced. So we continue. This is, so imagine, that was 1930. This is today's options. In a relationship, single, engaged, married, widowed, divorced. It's complicated. In an open relationship, separated, in a civil union, and in a domestic partnership. These are your options on Facebook. There's a lot more. I'm serious. You guys are all looking at me. No, these are our ideas of significant other relationships. They're all over the map. There's not much guidance on them. If you're wanting, how many of you guys believe God's called you to be married? Okay. If you're wanting that type of thing in your life, here's the most important guideline. Write this down. Proverbs 4:23. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. How many ever had a bad dating relationship? I mean, when I was a kid, I met Natalie in seventh grade, but I broke it off. We broke it off for a little while, and I dated her best friend. I know this is like the dark life of Kevin. I was dating her best friend, and there was stuff I had to work through. Before I dated her best friend, I was dating these other chicks. I was just like, hey, I remember one time I did the stupidest thing. I'm not an attractive guy. I'm not like Mr. Muscular, like Mr. like hot date dude. I had this one girl, I told her I'd go to homecoming with her, and then another girl, I told her I'd go to homecoming, and they both found out. Kevin didn't go to homecoming. You know what I'm saying? It was just dumb. I'd made some serious, stupid mistakes. None of them was like really bad, but it was just like there were some things I had to work through. That's why I think recreational dating sometimes goes awry, because you got to keep a watch over your heart. And it's easy to let your guard down. It's always better to play it safe. It's easy to let your guard down and let somebody in to your heart when maybe they're not supposed to be in there as a significant other. And now you got to deal with that. You got to get that baggage out of the way. Anybody ever heard of missionary dating? Does that ever work? No, please say no. All right, and here's why. 2 Corinthians 6:14. You guys know I'm talking about missionary dating, where you're like, hey, she's hot, but she's not saved. You know what? I'm going to go date her and bring her to church with me and get her saved. That's going to really work. And then I can have a Christian girlfriend. This is a great plan. All right, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't become partners with those who reject God. Oh, so that answers that question. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Now, that's not saying don't talk to people who aren't saved. That's your mission. That's your mandate. As the church, your foremost mandate is to seek the lost. A partnership is a whole other ballgame. That means you're working together. They're impacting you more than you're impacting them, or vice versa. It could be a mix. You never know. It's not a guarantee. A partnership. How many of you have ever been in a business partnership? Everybody worked for somebody that, like, you were supposed to be responsible for more things than you felt comfortable being responsible for, and it just wrecked. I remember I worked for a guy, and he had me balancing his checkbook, which I'm a creative guy. Bad idea. Anyway, I remember he was asking me to write bad checks, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was in a partnership with a guy that I had no business being in a partnership with, and I had to get out of it. That's why missionary dating doesn't work. That's why you shouldn't. I'm not saying you guys are like going to be set out to go missionary date. That's like a super old school idea, hopefully. But yet you got to have a boundary up. You got to know who the unsaved are and what your purpose in talking to them is. And it's always best if you got a neighbor who's of the opposite sex from you, who God's put on your heart, find a guy, one of these guys, and have them go mow their yard and talk to him and get in their life. It's better than you going, hey, what's up? You want to come to church with me? All right. It's really simple for the next step. How many of you guys believe, these guys have said they've found the one. How many of you thought you found the one before and it just wasn't the one? All right. You know what I'm talking about? The one, you're like, I'm going to marry this one. This one's the end all be all for me. So you think you found it. Here's what. I'm not going to dive a whole lot on significant other because there's so much you could say. We don't have time. But really, if you sum up all that we've talked about to this point and you apply it to that relationship, putting them first, that goes a long way. If you thought you found the one, there's a lot you can do. I can tell you from experience, it's all about the other person. I met Natalie, like I said earlier, when we were in seventh grade. It was a field trip, and This is really, I always make stories, they always seem bad about me. So y'all just bear with me. I was on a seat on the bus by myself. There's the only free seat on the bus. And she was on a bus with some other friends, and she had to go run in and get something from the building. When she came back, no seats were free, except I'm like three buses with like 56 people on each bus. The only free seat was next to me, which should have probably told her something about me. But I remember she had a Beatles shirt on. And she was like this kind of Beatles fan, semi-hippie. And I was like, it was the perfect mishmash. Like, I was a convincing mix of junior high zealous Christian. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'd just gotten saved, and I was like, man, you're going to hell. Like, that definitely doesn't work on a first date. And I was like kind of still a mix of the Nirvana grunge rocker with a good percentage of nerd. And so it was funny that we sat down, but we started talking. And we've been pretty much together since that time. We actually started seriously dating in ninth grade, and we've been together since then. I can seriously tell you that it's all about the other person. We've lived together longer than we ever lived as single people at this point, and I'm only 30. I'm 30. I just turned 30. All right, so, but I can tell you, it's all about the other person. It's all about putting them first. Dying to self puts a whole nother meaning on when you start having kids, too. Because, Daddy, you know, I had a nightmare, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and all you want to think is, there's no monsters. Go back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking, just go back to bed. And I'm the guy that if the kids crawl in bed with me, I'll just leave them there. And Natalie's like, baby, you're, like, pushing me off the bed. So she's always really gracious and gets the girls and brings them back upstairs. I'm a bad husband. I should probably work on that. Anyway, it's all about somebody else. And if you apply that rule to other areas of your life and other relationships, things just start to work out. So let's talk real quick. The last thing I want to talk to you about is, what about the church and what about the lost? How do relationships happen there? Galatians 3:28. Turn there with me. They'll have it on the screens if you don't have it. In Christ's family, there can be no division into Jew and non-Jew, slave and free, male and female. Among you are all equal. That is, we are all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. See, we all need somebody who can strengthen our walk. You guys have heard the terminology, sharp iron sharpens iron. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Everybody needs a Paul in their life, someone who's pulling them up. Everybody needs a Barnabas who's sharpening you. He can tell you straight up what's going on. And everybody needs a Timothy that they're pouring into. Does that make sense? It's a simple guideline for your walk. I know I'm rushing through this, but I want to get to the point. Have you all heard the saying, getting stabbed in the back? I'm from the South. And so in the Southern church, they don't stab you in the back. They come right up with a big smile on their face and stab you in the chest and then twist it and say, have a nice day. Like, that's how we do things in the church. You guys, I don't know how many of you guys experienced that, but I've experienced time and time again. Romans 14:22 says this. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. Usually, those kind of things happen in a church because you've done something they esteem as wrong, or they are jealous of something going on in your life. None of that has a place in the body of Christ. That's not how we should operate. I know we grew up in churches where someone had a reserve seat that was just for them. If you sat in it, you got smacked in the back of the head by a lady with a bag. You know what I'm saying? That's not the body of Christ. That's not it at all. You've certainly also heard the analogy of a plank in the eye. You know what I'm talking about? You guys all heard that like in Bible school. Or not Bible school, Sunday school. Maybe some of you heard it in Bible school. Sunday school, sorry. Jesus says in Luke 6:41. I'm reading out of the NIV. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Is a speck of sawdust smaller than a plank? I'm talking like a massive ship plank, like a big old piece of wood. We do that. I know we've all done it. We've all done it. We've all looked at somebody. Or how many times someone read a scripture in church and you thought, my friend needs to read that. And you weren't thinking that like out of love. You were thinking, man, they need to get this because I'm so tired of them being stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like you're looking at stuff in their life, but aren't we thankful that God forgave us of all the junk in our lives? That's we get through those things because of grace. We get through those things because the Holy Spirit moves in our heart. That doesn't happen if you're going to stand in someone's face and say, you're doing this wrong. And they don't even know you. I'm not talking about someone who has a relationship with you. I'm talking about just complete strangers. If we live this way, if we esteem others before ourselves, if we understand how the conviction of the Holy Spirit works in people's lives, we certainly won't have a problem getting along with each other. And if we're getting along with each other, it's a lot easier to be the light of the world. Who wants to invite someone to church when they're just going to come in and you're all going to be fighting each other? The Bible says they will know us by our love for each other. They will know us for our love, by our love for each other. I've been to some churches that they didn't love each other. They must not have known what love is. You know what I'm talking about? Have you guys experienced this? To me, the most important scripture, we're going to close with this, regarding the relationship-changing power of God, talks about the fact that he's the God of second chances. So I don't care what you've been through tonight. I'm not saying I don't care from an emotional standpoint. I'm saying it doesn't matter to God what you've been through. If you've gone through some really junky relationships, maybe you've messed up. Maybe your life isn't the same because of a decision you made. It doesn't matter. He's the God of second chances. He's the God of third chances. He's the God of fourth chances. Whatever time, however many times it takes you to get it, he's going to chase you down until you get it. Amen? He's not going to give up on you. So it doesn't matter what you've been through. There is no, I've ruined it. I've messed up. I got in this relationship and this girl drug me off course. Or I got in this relationship and this guy convinced me to do things I didn't want to do. Or I got in this relationship with a friend and he got me into drugs. It doesn't matter what it is. God's the God of second chances. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. And we were singing this song earlier. He's making all things new. Did you guys hear that? I love that song. And that idea to me that he makes all things new is the foundational thing that we should hold towards everybody. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, 14. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything. Say everything we do. The first and last word. Verse 15, he includes everyone in his death so that everyone could be also included in his life. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Verse 16, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him anymore that way. We evaluate people a lot by how they look or what they esteem. Has it ever occurred to you that person that you're looking down on might be the one that God wants you to marry? Or might be the person that God wants you to reach out to. But we're looking at them through our eyes. Paul's saying, we looked at Messiah that way one time. We looked at Jesus that way. We thought, there's no way this carpenter could be the Son of God. We got it all wrong. Think about David. He's out in the field. No one even thought to include him in the search for the next king of Israel. Because he was this ruddy little guy out, you know, tending the sheep. But he was the one. He was the one. Verse 17, now look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from The Bridge. Connect with us online at thebridgedfw.com.